Benny was another old-time Jewish schmecker from New York. He had been in Lexington 11 times and was in on the bluegrass this trip. According to the bluegrass law of Kentucky, any known user of narcotic drugs can be sentenced to the county jail for 1 year with the alternative of taking the cure in Lexington. He was a short, fat little Jew with a round face. I would never have made Benny for junk. He had a fair singing voice in a loud way, and his best number was April Showers. One day, Benny came into the day room all excited. "Moisha just checked in," he said. "He's a panhandler and a fruit, a disgrace to the Jewish race." "But Benny," someone said, "he's got a wife and kids." "I don't care if he's got 10 kids, Benny said. "He's still a fruit." Moisha showed about an hour later. He was a pretty obvious fruit and strictly on the mooch. He was a man of about 60, with a smooth pink face and white hair. Maddie was all over the ward, talking to everybody, asking crude, blunt questions, describing his withdrawal symptoms in detail. He never complained. I don't think he was capable of self-pity. Bob Reardon asked him what he did to get by, and Maddie replied, "I'm just a dumb fucking thief." He told a story about a drunk asleep on a subway platform bench. "I knew he had a roll in his side pocket, but every time I got within 10 feet of him, he'd wake up and say, 'What do you want?'" It was easy to see how Maddie's vigorous, intrusive emanations would wake up the lush. "So I went around and found a guy I knew, some old goofball bum. He sat right down by the drunk, and in 20 seconds he had it. He cut the pocket."
"Why didn't you shove him back against the wall and take the money?" asked Reardon in his good-natured, condescending way. Maddie had unlimited brass, and there was no uncertainty behind it. He looked completely unlike a drug addict. If a drugstore refused to sell him a needle, he would say, "Why won't you sell it to me? Do I look like a dope fiend?" A doctor had got Maddie on stuff.
"The Jew bastard," Maddie said. "He used to say to me, 'Maddie, you need a little shot, there's no color.' But I made him wish he'd never seen me." I could see a fat old Jewish doctor trying to refuse Maddie a shot on credit. Characters like Maddie constitute one of the hazards of pushing. They usually have money. When they don't, they expect credit. If you refuse, they will try to strong-arm you. They won't listen to no when they want junk. The cure at Lexington is not designed to keep the addicts comfortable. It starts at 1/4 of a grain of M 3 times a day and lasts 8 days. The preparation now used is a synthetic morphine called dolophine. After 8 days, you get a send-off shot and go over into population. There you receive barbiturates for 3 nights, and that is the end of medication. For a man with a heavy habit, this is a very rough schedule. I was lucky in that I came in sick, so the amount given in the cure was sufficient to fix me. The sicker you are and the longer you have been without junk, the smaller the amount necessary to fix you. When the time came for my send-off shot, I was assigned to Ward B, Skid Row, as it was called. There was nothing wrong with the accommodations, but the inmates were a sorry-looking lot. In my section, there were a bunch of old bums with the spit running out of their mouths. You are allowed 7 days to rest in population after medication stops. Then you have to choose a job and go to work. Lexington has a complete farm and dairy. There is a cannery to put up the fruits and vegetables raised on the farm. The inmates run a dental laboratory where they make false teeth, a radio repair service, a library. They serve as janitors, they cook and serve food, and they act as assistants to the ward attendants. So there is a wide variety of jobs to select from. I did not figure to stay around long enough to work. After my send-off shot began to wear off, I got sick. Just a shadow of the way I felt when I came in, but bad enough. Even with the sedative, I did not sleep that night. Next day, I was worse. I couldn't eat anything, and it was an effort for me to move around. The dolophine suspends the sickness, but when the medication stops, the sickness returns. "You don't kick your habit in the shooting gallery," an inmate told me. "You kick it over here in population." When the night medication stopped, I checked out, still sick. On a cold, windy afternoon, 5 of us took a cab into Lexington.
The thing to do is get right out of Lexington, my companions told me. Go right to the bus station and stay there until your bus leaves. Otherwise, you're liable to get the bluegrass. This law was devised to protect the doctors and druggists of Kentucky against the importunities of addicts on their way to and from the Lexington narcotics farm. It is also intended to discourage addicts from lingering in the town of Lexington. In Cincinnati, I went around to several drugstores buying 1-ounce bottles of paregoric. 2 ounces of paregoric will fix an addict when his habit is reduced, as mine was at that time. I drank 3 ounces of paregoric, followed with a little warm water. In about 10 minutes, I could feel the junk take hold, and the sickness was gone. I felt hungry right away, and went out of the hotel to eat.